Blinding sun, deceptive moon, and consuming shadows. Many secrets are held beyond the sight of humanity. Wondrous and dangerous, the mysteries of Dearstan leave no one unchanged. The bold crew role players are pleased to welcome you into that perilous liminality between the mundane, the unknown, and the unknowable. Whispers from Beyond is a Mage the Awakening Chronicle following the journey of Emily Tao, played by Craig. I'm Bill, and I will be your storyteller for this dive into the mysteries of Dearstan. The two of you had your moment. Brian held your hand for possibly slightly longer than is proper, but probably a lot less time than he would have wanted, considering how rare it is for him to feel anything even resembling human warmth.
So, I get up and kind of like shake myself out a little bit. I hope this isn't too forward, but I kind of already found out where your body was.
So you think you can get it? He looks excited, almost thirsty, desperate.
Well, I came prepared, and I kind of like shrugged for him to follow me back over to the car.
He does. You can see the further he gets from the water, the more uncomfortable he seems to be. There is a definite limit to how far he can stay from his anchor.
Is he able to make it to the car?
Oh, he can make it. He can leave the vicinity of his anchor. He just starts bleeding essence when he does.
So I pop the trunk and kind of like indicates like the gear that I brought, and like kind of like
he nods appreciatively.
Yeah, like it's tarped everywhere, but I open up the giant duffel bag I acquired and take the wetsuit out, and I throw that inside the car and like unravel the rope and everything. And then how long does this lodestone spell actually last?
A better question is, how long do you cast the spell to make it last? Primary factor on lodestone is duration.
Yeah. I mean, if I need more than an hour, like things are probably really, I'm probably really bad off, but.
You get one turn per success on a regular duration, and then it starts at an hour on advanced duration. So remember, going to advanced takes a reach. Casting this in under 3 hours takes a reach. You have one in matter, so you got one reach. So you're going to overreach and provoke.
Yeah, probably. Well, at least I don't have that other spell going. So I indicate the carabiner, and I explain that I'm going to attempt to magic it to stick to you.
Lasso. We agreed that you were going to try and lasso.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to try to lasso the rope to kind of stick to you and magic it to kind of go around.
All right, he says. That I think I might be intact enough that that'll work.
Okay. Do you are you bound up in anything? I know that's kind of like an awkward question, but is your body whole? Do you know?
The body's pretty much whole. I think there's still some sheets on me. I was like bound up in some kind of a cloth. I don't know if it was like a tarp or sheets. It didn't feel plasticky, but things don't quite feel, if you know what I mean. And it's not really rotting yet.
Well, that's good. I try to say assuringly.
Yeah. I need light to see as much as you do, though. So, as you can guess, the visuals down there are kind of lacking.
Okay, well,
you're strong, right? You can pull me out no trouble. You do have some muscle there. He pokes you in the arm because you still have your point of mana going.
Yeah,
we're just gonna honestly stretch time a little bit because
I figured.
To make your mage light last more than a minute takes a point of willpower.
Oh, I thought I mana'd it.
The mana lets you interact with him.
because of your attainment for death two.
Yeah.
The point of willpower lets it last for more than a minute because you have Gnosis one. So okay. I think we technically got to have you check a point of willpower. And for things that are not impacted by your mage sight or benefiting from it, you get a minus two penalty because of all this heavy symbolism and so on like that you see. Because you see information about the death of all things around you.
I suppose. So did I gain any willpower back from sleep or however that comes back?
Yeah, you get a point back for every night you sleep.
Okay.
I thought you weren't down any willpower. I didn't mark.
I was down three.
Okay, so yeah, you're down three again because, or sorry, you're down probably two because you've had to stay up, and one of those two nights will say you didn't get perfect sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So you get two back, and then spend one now.
Okay, so
sounds fair.
Yep, perfect. Okay, so how long do I have for this interactions with the mana? Or are we playing with time?
We're going to be a little thematic more than anything else, because honestly, thematics is frankly more important than sticking to the exact letter of things, and you know it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I prep all the, like, the rope and everything outside the car.
And he's watching. He's intrigued.
And, like, I kind of set it up, and I mean, I'm not too far away from it, but, like... Yeah, I want to, like, I think I want to turn the car on and leave it running just in case I fall in.
Then keep the car warm. Makes sense.
Yeah, basically have the heater gone full blast, and I probably brought some towels and stuff. But yeah, I think when I'm ready to go, I ask him to kind of look away so I can basically go in the car and change into my wetsuit.
He gives a brief... Oh, yeah, take it off. And then when he sees your face, he's like, I'm going back to the water now.
I'll meet you by the edge.
Yeah, he goes back to the end of the dock, realizing that he probably shouldn't have pushed that button.
Yeah, so I make sure that he's actually turned before I, like, shimmy into the car and, you know, do the thing who's anyone who's ever had a job that required a uniform has ever had to do, and just quickly get changed up in the car, and I put the shoes on over it because I'm not planning on going in, but, you know, better safe than sorry.
Definitely. All right. You prepare yourself. You've gotten the outfit going, and you're probably okay. I should mention that, to be fair, death mage sight lets something see anchor, or it's not something with the anchor condition show up. So when you see his body actually kind of would glow to you with death colors.
So that would confirm for Che that, like, the anchor is definitely the body and not the location, which gives her some reassurance that all this is possibly going to work, and not, because that would, like, be the worst thing. She goes through all this trouble to get the body and have it just be the place, but luckily that's not the case. So I'm gonna, like, you know, put the rope around me and, like, kind of carry the duffel bag as well, because it's probably gonna be easier to drag him in the duffel bag. So, and basically
bring it all to the shore.
Yeah, go to the water's edge and try to find, like, the closest I could possibly get to where I know his body's going to be. Because I have located it before. And if nothing else, I have my phone with the pictures of where the area was.
All right. So how are you going to start it out? You've gotten the rope ready. You've gotten your gear ready. You've been taking your time. It's getting dark, though, at this point.
Yeah, I want to do
it. If you didn't have your head, you probably have the lights on your car off to keep it from being really obvious.
Yeah. But the car is running still, so I don't want to waste too much time doing this. So I'm going to, you know, get the rope ready almost in, like, the, like, basically get it ready to throw and wait until that moment to start casting the spell.
All right. So for the spell, you got two dice as a base. It's certainly related to your shadow name, the way you're doing this. So that's a third die. And your last yantra available to you is probably going to come from something like using high speech, which could get you a total of four dice to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You have one reach to begin with, which lets you make it an instant spell instead of 3 hours.
Yes.
If you want to be able to get more than one turn per success, you're going to need to use a second reach to make this into advanced duration. Then we start risking paradox.
How do I do that second reach thing?
Every time you take a reach beyond what you can innately do for a spell based on your level of understanding,
mm-hmm.
it adds 1 degree of your paradox. So at Gnosis 1, you get 1 paradox die.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have your hammer with you and use it as an implement around the spell, even if you're not using it as, you know, a yantra for bonuses in dice, still gives you -2 dice for paradox. So technically you can take 2 extra reaches and your hammer gives you -2 dice, which puts you on a chance die for paradox.
Okay. And yeah, I'll put a belt on with my hammer dummy corded around my waist just to have it closer and near.
In case you got to go in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. But I will then, I think I'm going to use a willpower as well on this.
All right. So that gives you from 4 to 7 dice.
Okay.
You still have 1 chance die paradox right now. You can technically do 1 more reach if you want to. I mean, there's no point in making things at sensory range, but you do want the advanced duration. So you have enough time to work in theory.
Yeah. I don't want to get to like, oh, you get 3 throws and so
yeah. All right. And I will roll your 1 chance die paradox.
Okay.
Chance die is a 6, no paradox. So you haven't contained a paradox, but you haven't experienced a paradox. Your backlash is still sitting around there waiting.
Oh, lurking. It's waiting.
It's ready for you.
Yeah, I'm going to roll for the spell then. That's 2 successes.
Okay, that spell is going to last some time, and that rope wants to wrap itself around a body.
Yep. All righty.
As much as a coincidence can be. So basically, any throw that might go around the body will go around the body.
And I kind of nod over to Brian, and I'm like, I think it's going to work. At least the spell did. Well, let's see how my throwing works. What do you think, like dex and athletics, or is throw its sword skill?
Athletics would be the skill. So dex and athletics.
Mm.
Technically, you used the hammer as a yantra, by the way, not instead of high speech for your second one.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise it wouldn't apply its -2 dice.
Okay.
So literally, you're using like your shadow name plus your implement is probably going to be your default combo a lot of the time because you only have 2 yantras right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got 3 dice, but luckily plenty of attempts. So I'll roll and just see how lucky I get.
All right.
How far away is the body, do I think?
You think that from the closest point on the shore you can get to it, which is down river a little bit in someone's yard, like 30 feet out.
Okay. So I need quite the
shot. You're going to need 3 successes to be able to get it.
So I have 3 dice. That means that I have to spend more willpower.
Yeah. I think 3 successes make sense for, you know, 30 feet.
Is this an extended thing or?
Because you got no skill. You don't have like ropes or anything. Only 2. 3 actually might not be realistic for this, but you don't have exactly training with rope.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 successes will get it out there.
Okay. Maybe I get lucky. Let's
see. Maybe. Your choice on the willpower or not.
Yeah.
But remember, frustration after the first 1 or 2 fails, you start taking penalties, like a 1 die penalty and then another die penalty out of frustration.
Okay, well, the first one didn't go.
All right. But you didn't expect the first one to. I'm going to give you 3 tries, and then you start taking frustration penalties because why haven't I gotten this yet?
All right. second one didn't go either.
Brian's just like, did you get any successes at all on these, by the way?
Just the one on the first one.
All right. The first one, he's like, I was most of the way there. And he's kind of floating-ish above the water. And then on the second one, he just looks and he's like, that way. And then he heads out further and then stands and points straight down. And I'm going to give you one extra die for this one because we're going to say that's him trying to help you out and really aim you correctly.
Alrighty. Let's see if it works. That's one success.
You get it two-thirds of the way to him and then it flops against the water and he just looks at you like, really? And you're feeling the cold in your arm and your hands, frankly. Just a little bit.
I'm trying here. See.
Yeah, so if you roll again, you're at a minus one, but you haven't spent any willpower yet.
Yeah, willpower to add two dice.
Willpower adds three, minus one, plus one from him standing, trying to direct you where to throw the bloody rope.
Yeah, I'm probably putting my teeth.
You can see he's getting frustrated.
I kind of look at him and was like, hey, this is better than your plan. Sort of like, look, like, there we go.
All right, you toss the rope out to roughly where he is, slightly past him, and then it starts sinking down into the water. And because there is that carabiner weighing it down, it's not a floating kind of rope. And it goes down, down, down. And he looks at you, then looks down and follows the rope down. You wait a few moments longer. He pops back up to the surface. You got me.
I give a few tugs. Just to make sure that the rope is cinched around itself and not just going to come off if I do something weird.
The rope seems to have him down there. It does not just pop back up to you. There's resistance. This is going to be a strength plus stamina roll to pull him out because apparently lifting is strength plus stamina. I looked this up. So you're not in as bad of shape as we thought with strength one.
Yeah. Is there like a way I can like wrap it around a tree or something to get like the mechanical advantage of a primitive pulley, not pulley, but a fulcrum?
You could walk the rope up towards the dock and wrap it around one of the pillars on the dock. You'd be stretching the rope pretty far, but I would say you probably got like a standard 100-foot-ish rope.
Yeah.
So you're got like maybe 15 feet left if you wrap it around one of the spars on the dock, you know?
I think I'm going to do that. I think I need to get the extra oomph to get, like, if I'm not sure if he's like stuck like under mud or something, but I think once I free him, it's going to be easy.
That's fair. All right. I will give you plus one dice for using the dock as a pulley because that's intelligent, you know? And the equipment bonus from the rope.
Yeah, I am taking mechanics classes. So
I want to reward good thinking.
Alrighty, let's see here. Yeah, one success.
One success. You feel like you've moved the rope a tiny bit. This is not a lot of movement.
Yeah, I'm gonna like bite down on the collar of my wetsuit just to like give myself a little bit more grit and try to like keep going and push forward.
All right. Make one more roll and then I might have you make one knowledge roll as well, depending on how well this goes.
Well, that was four successes because I had a TED explode.
That's awesome. I didn't even need to make you make a knowledge roll for possible things in your repertoire that could have helped you, of which there actually was a single spell that I found really quickly that would have done it.
Well, if it came to it, I would have just tied it to my car.
Yeah. Turns out there's also a matter one spell that lets you see how to optimally use a tool and then get like bonuses to your roll on it. You can feel a popping sound as you keep pulling backwards and suddenly you're pulling. Something is loose. He's coming.
I'm gonna use the momentum to try to get as much out of it as possible and like I'm basically at this time like walking back to the river, and maybe I'll pass the body on the way.
All right. You can see that the body, or something wrapped in white and tied with some rope, is kind of dragging a little below the surface as you pull the rope along. It is definitely human size. It is probably him. There looks like there's something missing at the bottom of it. The sheet looks a little torn there, but it's okay. You got the majority of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna like kind of like look up and like see if I can get like a reaction out of Brian when I finally like pull it out and kind of crest the water.
As it's nearing the surface, he looks and says, looks like they had some weights on my feet. I guess I don't really need those anyway now.
I try not to think about that, what that actually means.
Who said this would be easy for you, Craig?
So at some point, when it gets out of the water, I'm going to first look around and see if any, like, I've been doing this for probably 5-10 minutes at least.
All right, you can make a wits and composure, but it's at -2 because it's stuff unrelated to the specific mage sites you're using. And yeah, I want to see what you get.
Is it -2?
Yep, penalty for the mage site because you're using it so much. It does distract you from more mundane things or things that aren't tied to it.
That's one success at least.
Okay. Well, you don't actually see anyone moving you with you, but you realize that the current of the river seems to have slowed down a lot. Like, incredibly a lot.
I'm not sure exactly what that means for my weekend, but I think Che is going to basically try to quickly check the body inside the like giant sports duffel bag.
All right. You start trying to put it in on the shore there by the water. And then you hear a voice a little bit off to the side and says, oh, are you having some trouble with that? There's a girl there who might be like a year or two older than you, with dark green hair, who seems utterly comfortable and not dressed for the weather.
I did make the roll, so I'm probably not completely surprised by it, but I think I'm still like frightened that there's someone there and is seeing me basically pull something out of the river.
She walks over to you. I believe Shay was not the tallest person, if I remember correctly. How tall is she? Like, 5'2". This woman's easily 5'9". So she's got a good half a foot on you. And says, what are you doing pulling that out of the river? With a very, very sweet but sharp voice.
I kind of looked down. Like, did I manage to zip up the bag yet? Or
you kind of got it partway in the bag. It's a pain. Remember, you are at strength 1, and all of your benefits was to get it out of the water, not to try and roll again to get it to your car.
Mm-hmm.
It was 5 just to get it to the bank.
Yeah, I probably looked down and looked up at this green-haired woman who...
I'll give you a wits and a cult roll here.
Yeah. Let me roll before I respond. I'm guessing it doesn't have anything to do with monk culture.
Sadly, no.
I got one success.
Well, you notice as she gets up closer to you that she is in fact slightly damp, smells of the ocean and the water, and there might be bits of seaweed in her hair. You're not 100% certain what myth she comes from, but you are certain she is not human, despite her appearance.
I'm going to, like, turn my death sight on her to see if anything is flashing.
Well, she's not dead either. Otherwise, I would have said that your death site was picking that up. Because your death site's on. Otherwise, you couldn't be interacting with Brian. You paid the willpower. You got it.
Yeah.
It, technically, your matter site comes along with it for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's your two ruling ones, and there's no penalty for using both.
I think
but she is definitely damp from the water, soaked through. Probably not human, and does not seem... Oh, wait. Death site. She doesn't have a soul.
She's not quite sure how she feels about this. But she looks down at the half-zip double bag and back up to this woman, and using the term woman very loosely here, basically feels like she got, like, you know, got caught with her pants down or whatever. And she's going to say, well, just taking things out that probably weren't supposed to be there in the first place.
She looks at you rather strongly. Oh, he's exactly where I had wanted him to be. What are you doing with my boyfriend?
I look at Brian.
Brian is saying, what the? No, 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 no. She doesn't seem to be able to hear Brian, but Brian is saying, no, 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 no. That creepy thing dragged my body out of the bay and cuddles it every now and then. Don't trust it.
I'm kind of like probably standing there with my mouth open, like looking at Brian, and then turn back to her.
If you're nice and put him back, we might not have trouble. But the two of us are in love. Do you even understand what that means? Are you old enough to understand what that means? Or you'll know nothing but drunken flings.
I think she's quite frightened about all this. Because, like, she has not, she's not looked into something like this before. And it's something brand new and terrifying to her. She's not sure if it's one of those vampire things that Yamadudu was talking about. Or one of those crab cultists or...
Well, you know two things from your mage site. She is alive, but she has no soul.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if like that fits the vampire description or not, or if it's something different or worse.
Well, you only got one success. I can't help you out too much yet.
No.
So she's looking straight at you and says, you're putting him back? I can put him where I want him, but you put that thing back in the water. You put my boyfriend back. You walk away. We pretend this never happened. That's my offer. You get one chance to accept it.
And something in the back of Che's mind is noting that she was specifically asked to put it back in the water. And she doesn't know anything about this entity, but kind of feels like it might be tied to the water somehow, but doesn't have a lot of time to like sit there and think over it. So I think she's just going to, like, basically grab hold of the duffel bag and try to, I don't know, spend willpower, just try to drag it and run towards the car as fast as she can.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling like an initiative roll is coming on here. Does this feel like an initiative roll to you too?
Possibly. I'm not sure if I get a surprise action or not.
Considering you're being watched like a hawk, I think you're going to be rolling your initiative.
Easy, Chris. All right, what's initiative in the system again?
A D10 plus your dex and wits. You actually have that written on your front of your sheet. Your modifier is 5. I'm going to warn you, though, I just rolled pretty good. So she might be able to interrupt what you do.
I got a 12.
She, in fact, got a 14. I rolled pretty high.
Yeah. So I reached down as if to just muscle through, and what happens?
She goes to grab you. She goes to grab you right around the neck. And let's see what happens here. You've got a defense of 3, and technically, you have the ability to pop on one of your two mage armors for a point of mana at will. if you'd like a really quick reminder of, oh, sorry, you only have death magic, so that's up to your death armor you can turn on at will. If you want a quick reminder of what your death armor does, you can go through that really fast.
I know it's some sort of armor, yep. But I don't.
Death armor downgrades lethal damage from kinetic attacks into bashing damage.
Yeah, let's do that.
And it also means that you don't have to roll to stay conscious if she fills up your health tracker with bashing. You just did to do it.
Yes, I do remember that part.
So that would be worth spending a point of mana for, done. I believe. Cool. So if she does lethal, you get to turn two lethal into two bashing. Automatic.
All right. So she has me by the neck.
She's going to try that. I still have to actually roll an attack. And you do still technically have your defense of three to subtract from her pool, which is nice. Two successes. So what she's doing is slightly worse than just damage. She's grabbing you into a grapple. Oh no, the grappling rules! The bane of every system. She's grabbed you by the neck and she's trying to grapple you. She grabs you right around there, looks directly into your eyes and smiles wickedly and says, you know, maybe I could use a girlfriend also.
My eyes go very big.
And is pushing you towards the water. What do you do? She went first.
Well, okay. I don't have a whole lot of time to think about this.
You do not.
Yeah. So I throw my death armor. And I have my hammer dummy cord to my belt. I think I'm just gonna grab it and try to like probably go for an elbow or arm or whatever. I'm just gonna probably. I never actually had it, except for the cultists. I never had to really fight off anything before, and I don't think Chase really had any training in like self-defense. But she's gonna flail wildly with her hammer and try to connect and hopefully free herself.
Yeah, in Chronicles of Darkness, normally that would be a strength plus weaponry roll, which for you is a chance die because you're unskilled in weaponry.
Yep.
And I would say that you could always, you know, spend willpower to add to that. But in theory, if she has a defense of three or more, you're still on a chance die, which would be kind of horrible. Just your awareness right there.
Yeah, I mean.
On the other hand, she might be limited on her defense because she is holding you. And you are literally trying to smack the thing that's holding you with a hammer. So it's up to you what chance you take here.
So the only other thing I could think of is maybe the decay spell, but I'm not sure. It says an object. I'm not sure if that counts as, like, people count as objects.
People don't. Technically, it takes three and an arcanum to start doing damage to people.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any three arcanums. You have a two in death.
Yeah. Well, despite the fact that I've been trying to stay so stealthy all this time, I think I'm going to, I'm going to try to wiggle out of it. Because I think that's my only option where I'm not rolling a chance die mechanically, but.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, I did look up the rule really quickly, and you do theoretically have certain bonuses. Remember, your hammer is made with Cassiterum and Aperon. So it's incredibly tough, and if it touches a spirit or a ghost, it drains essence. It might drain her supernatural power just getting her in contact with it if you're able to succeed on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that was my original thing was just to try to hit her.
And Aperon does give you 8 again on rolls for things that are being used as a tool.
I mean, weapons are tools of death.
Basically, what I'm saying is you have a chance.
All right. We're going to try to flail wildly with a chance die on a hammer.
Willpower or no willpower?
I think willpower, because I don't see this getting any better if I wait.
Willpower, because you're actually in a grapple, technically, apparently defense doesn't really apply between you two.
Yeah, I'm saying I'm going to use...
Your willpower is going to give you 3 real dice.
Yeah, so I guess pull 4?
No, just 3 real dice, because it turns your negative, zero dice into 3 dice.
Okay. So 3 dice instead of a chance die. Alrighty, let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
I got one.
That's good, because I know I am admittedly playing a little bit loose with the rules of a grapple here, but
yeah,
the grapple rules are always messy, in my opinion. So we're always going to be a little fuzzy.
I don't know what this thing is, but I'm going to try to go old boy anyways, and that's 1 success.
You managed to grab your hammer and whack it into the back, kind of like hugging your hammer aggressively into her spine a little bit. And you can actually hear it burn, sizzle, and pop against her skin for a second. She screams in surprise and flail and lets you go, because what the hell, man? Basically. You did do some actual something to her.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure I even know what I did or that I did something, but if I'm being let go, I'm running back up towards the car.
And Brian's yelling, "Wait, don't forget me."
I'm towards the car in the direction of the car. I'm going to try to grab the body too.
All right, you're basically kind of pulling, dragging. That can be potentially your next turn. You know what? This is time for Brian to actually try to use his ghosty powers, I think.
No, make this a
2-on-1.
I think I lean back and like, anything you know what to do, anything you got to be very much appreciated here.
I'm going to try, but this is not easy for me. And that was an exploding 10. You can actually see Brian reach out and try to grab at her, and you have death sight going still, so you can actually see Brian somehow like stealing energy or essence or something out of her.
Like, keep doing that.
And she kind of screams and freaks out because she doesn't see him and doesn't know what's going on there. I'll let her next turn be flailing, reaching out, just to give you this one chance to roll some strength and stamina to see if you can pull the body, because she's been confused by this thing happening. If you do badly here, then she's going to be right back on you on her next turn.
I have 1 more willpower.
This is up to you.
I
thought you didn't spend that many. You had 2. Oh yeah, you did. Does get your almost up to done. Yeah, you're gonna need some serious recovery time after this.
Oh yeah. You know, it's there to be used. So I'm using my last willpower, because I need to make some progress with this, and hopefully get away while she's flailing. That's 2 successes out of all that.
All right, I'll say that gets the body most of the way to the trunk of your car, because you didn't park too far away. You haven't loaded her in yet, but you got her to the trunk, and now you just got it up over and in, and this is hard, frankly. Mm-hmm.
I think I, at this point, like, ditched the rope completely.
That's fine. Yeah, she looks over and she starts, screams, "No! Give him back. I took so long to find the perfect man." Brian looks like he's gagging at the thought of that. And then I'm going to give him 1 more action before she can get to you. Don't expect too much Deus Ex, but you were dragging. He gets an action too. Mm-hmm. She was trying to figure out how to face an invisible thing and failed, you know? And he just screams at her, "We were never a couple, you bitch." And you feel like the waves of power come off him again and realize he actually just managed to use something again, enough that she heard him. You didn't hear him with mundane senses. You know it was only ghostly still, but she heard him and she freezes in utter confusion. You get one more roll to get him in the trunk.
All right, just strength and stamina. One success.
I'll let you shove him in the trunk for that one success.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to book it?
Yeah, if I have time, I'll slam it shut behind him. If not, like...
I'll let you just... It's more dramatic that way. You shove him in the trunk, you slam it. You see her start running, being like, no, you can't dump me. You can't leave me. You get in the car.
And it's already on.
It is already on. And you start heading out. Brian is shotgun.
Oh, yeah. Sitting right on Clifford.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I think the windows are fogging up because I'm in here now with like a lot of sweat and it's cold and the heater was going, and I'm like, I swap it over to, from heat to AC full blast and like turn on the windshield wipers and I'm just like tearing out of there.
Shay, let's make a wits and drive roll to see whether or not you end up catching anyone's attention at speed traps before you calm down. -2 because you're freaking out. Just give me a success and you're fine.
Technically, I'm chauffeuring.
You are chauffeuring. I will let you have that because you're chauffeuring a ghost and a corpse.
One success.
That's enough for you to realize where the speed traps are coming up and slow down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know it might not have been the most perfect chauffeuring, but I'm going to call that good. You slow down before the speed trap.
I realize like I'm probably like a maniac right now, and I turn my lights on because those would have been off.
Brian's and like, you got me.
I'm like going, and like my heart's probably going 100 miles an hour. I'm finally calming down enough to like take the car and like put it into like a normal person on the road who's not like fighting some weird Selkie mermaid thing that's also possibly undead vampire. And like, I don't know, I think I'm just like heart's going 100 miles an hour just trying to calm down, and like, yeah, we did it. And like how like without meaning to, like I probably like hit the radio just because that thing seems thematic.
All right. You do, in fact, you got the radio on. It's AC/DC. It's playing Highway to Hell.
It's going to go on the playlist.
But it makes sense.
Yeah.
You go back through the night to the graveyard. Because isn't that where you planned on taking him?
Yeah. I probably look like an idiot showing up in a wetsuit without shoes. And
it's only like 8 or so at night too when you get there at most, after all you're fooling around and trying to take a bunch of weird turns to not make it obvious what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you pulled him out of the water at like 5 o'clock. It's only like half an hour away at most.
Yeah.
But you had to calm down and unfreak out.
Mm-hmm.
And you couldn't get him to stop thanking you and babbling and stuff. And your mage light wore off, frankly, so you couldn't keep it up long term. Because you couldn't drive with it on well. You had to turn it off to start going.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But
I'm guessing them. Yeah.
But you could cast the one dot death spell to be able to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to let that have happened.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's at some point I'm like miming that I'm understanding him and just going like woohoo, raising my fists in the air, but he probably stops hearing me at some point and probably gets it.
Yeah, strictly speaking, you do have a speak with the dead is a rank 1 spell. You can easily cast it to do the same stuff as your death sight without actually needing the mana. It just counts as your active spell.
Yeah. I disband the rope. All right, I probably did that in order to get him out, but
Yeah, when you get there, your teacher might be waiting, even though it's a Sunday night, at the shack because he was curious what would happen.
Yeah. I think I see his, like, my headlights illuminate, like, the taillights of his Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm probably, like, my little Toyota Camry is probably bouncing along because I'm probably still driving a little bit faster than I normally would down the road, but yeah.
But yeah, no, you can see the light flickering in the cabin of the fire going in there. He is almost 100% certain inside.
Could I have, could I do this speak with Dad without rolling or?
I was going to let you have had that going during the car ride because, frankly, it's a duration spell to reach, gives you an instant and lets you do it for an hour on one success.
Okay.
And if you get even one success, it would be like 24 hours worth of it working for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're fine with that. We're not going to make you roll when it's not thematically important. Yeah. And you're not doing anything that could overreach.
Yeah, so I leave my mage sight off, though, during this, just because I think it was giving me a headache for having it on so long. But I say, we did it. You don't have any cell phones on you, do you? It's a joke.
Which one did you ask that, Brian?
Yeah.
He's like, probably not.
No, it's fine. This is my mentor's house place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's that nice, large, slightly larger than a one-room cabin sometimes is one-room cabin beside the graveyard. And by slightly large, I mean, it looks like it was designed so people could have a small gathering in it without being uncomfortable. And so he could actually do work in it.
Mm-hmm. So I go over, I stop the car, leave the keys in there. I'm still wearing the wetsuit because I think it's funny for Che to be completely mistressed for circumstances sometimes.
I mean, we've already realized that Che has things that happen to her with costume changes all the time, and it's only going to keep going for a while.
I love the trope. So, like, she'll get out and, like, go around and open the passenger door for Brian. Although she probably doesn't need to, but she does it anyways.
And Brian will get out of the passenger seat. And he'll walk over, and Brian is at a cabin at a graveyard that's relatively dark. There's not a huge amount of moon showing here. There's the light from in the cabin. That's about it.
Yeah, I'm going to go up and, like, knock on the door to see if Yamaduta's in.
Come in. And as you open the door, he is there sitting, doing a crossword puzzle, drinking some tea.
I come in and I kind of leave the door open behind me.
He looks up at you. You know, it's not warm out. Do you want to chop more firewood?
I turn and look to Brian. I'm like, let's get in here already.
Brian walks through the door.
And then I push it closed because I guess I have to. Sorry about that, teacher. Didn't think he was this shy, but we did it. Yay.
Yeah. Yamaduchi just glances over in Brian's direction and says, yes, I can see that you are both here. But I'm certain at this point he already knows that he could have walked through that door open or close.
I look at
Brian. Kind of shrugs and looks a little grumpy at that and says, I thought it was polite.
See, he's being polite. And I've kind of like put on my winning smile.
Well, you did succeed. Now you have a slightly bigger problem. Sorry, a slightly bigger problem. The ground's still frozen.
Oh.
And he laughs heartily as you realize this.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily want to leave it in the back of my trunk either. No.
This much I took care of. It is no effort for me to shift soil. though you will not get a stone. She will have to manage one for you later, should you find it appropriate. I am not giving you someone else's. Your grave is your own, not theirs.
Oh, thank you, teacher.
He nods.
So how does this work? Do I just put him in?
Generally, yes, that is how one buries a body. Though you would probably want to remove anything that you don't feel like should be committed to the earth here. Anything that won't decay well naturally.
Hmm. And at that, like, Chase thinking, she's like, I really wasn't planning on, like, uncovering him and having to deal with all that, but yeah, it's a fair request, but I don't think she was planning on having to actually handle a body without plastic and stuff in the way.
Damodusa knows how strong you actually physically are, so he will help you carry, but you are taking the body out of the duffel bag and then taking the body out of the plastic trash bag inside the duffel bag. And he looks at the cloth wrapped around him, and the cloth could be in better condition, but it hasn't rotted away. But it does. But he looks and says, "This is an acceptable shroud."
Okay. I turn to Brian and is like, "Is there anything you didn't want going down there with you?"
Well, frankly, I didn't want me being dead and going there, but it's not like they left anything on me.
And I nod.
And you do notice that the shroud kind of is broken open around the feet area.
Yeah.
And you see ankle bones without anything below them poking out as he's being shifted.
I'm trying not to draw attention to it, but I think it's kind of like, it's going to, like, someone has to take the head, someone has to take the feet to lower them in.
So. Yeah, Yamadusa is not that kind. You did end up getting stuck carrying the feet. And yes, there's fleshy, not in the best condition, really horribly smelly legs there that end where the ankles broke off. And the break off is, you realize, you pulled him unstuck from his feet.
Yeah, I'm trying not to make a big deal out of it because that is my bad. And
he doesn't seem to be caring to bang about it. You got your death sight going, so you realize he actually is the part of his body he's truly most anchored to is his skull.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. I'd lower him in and then kind of like gather around the hole. And like I turn to Brian and say, "Do you think we should say something? Do you want to say something?"
"Thanks for not leaving me in the water. Hi down there. You were me. You were useful. I kind of miss being in you. You're in horrible shape though now, and I don't think we're going to the gym together again."
And
if there's a god, you should have shown up by now and brought me somewhere nicer. So I'm not betting on that anymore.
And I look to Yamadusa, like, not sure if he wants to say anything.
He does say something brief in a language that you are not overly familiar with. It seems pretty compassionate, though.
I'll nod and probably just take a page from his book and say, like, probably like the Korean translation of a prayer that grandma taught me when I was.
You mean the Hmong translation?
Yeah,
because
it's not Korean.
They're pretty closer to like Nepal. They're closer to there than they are to Korea. Yeah,
I will say the Hmong translation of a prayer that grandma might have taught me when I was younger. Not sure if Emily believed it or whatever, but it seems appropriate.
And then he will hand you a shovel and gesture lightly to the pile of earth that is not quite frozen because it had been recently moved, but it's still certainly very cold beside the grave, and say, "This might take a little effort. The grave was a good 6 feet deep. It's a lot of dirt."
Right. I look at him and nod, like, not that I'm happy to be doing physical labor in a graveyard in a wetsuit at like, I was probably close to like 7 or 8 at this point. But then I guess montage of Emily filling a hole with dirt.
All right. I think we can safely montage that. And is this roughly where you think you're willing to call it an evening? It feels thematically about right.
Yeah. I think it's good.
All right.
Like, we can always do more, but it feels good here.
Then, dear listeners, join us again next time when Shay finds even more in the Whispers of Death.
Want to find out more about the story? Join our Discord channel. The link is in the description.